You all recognize that of all the things with regard to offerings, including all of the cleansings, the waters of purification, all of the things we've studied about sin offering and trespass offering, all of these things, except for the priests, have either been standing, you know, you've only been standing at the door, or you've been outside the walls. You understand that? And the thing that we talked about the last time we talked about burnt offering was that the brazen altar is the table of the Lord. It's where the Lord eats. Now, in the context then of that eating, does everybody have a Bible? Go to John 14. No, wait a minute. Let's not go to John 14.
John 14?
No, let's go to Revelation 3.
Revelation.
Where?
Revelation 3. Well, keep your finger in Revelation. Let's go to Luke 12 first. This is what we studied when I yelled at you Tuesday night. We looked at from 22 to 30 was a repeat of the Sermon on the Mount. And then starting in verse 31, but rather than seeking what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or whatever, it says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, to seek the kingdom of God is not a long way off. It's the kingdom of God, by definition, is when the fulfillment in the book of Isaiah, that the government shall be upon his shoulders, where he is the head. That means he can't be the head or the king unless you have lost. Now this comes very late in the process. So now the government is in his shoulders. You got it? Rather seek ye the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is simply seeking the kingship of God in your life, which means, and all that seeking means is that you've surrendered. Fear not, little flock, for now it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And we're a real little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give us now the kingdom. Now we can inherit it. Now we can possess our possession. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, treasure is something that isn't negotiable. You can't spiritualize treasure. You could tell me till hell freezes over that I have this great treasure from a 64th uncle that died. I wouldn't believe you until I saw it, until I experienced it. Now, your experience of the treasure is about to take place. Now the weirdness in the kingdom of God is that the treasure, I mean, it's the opposite. In the world, to find the treasure, you seek and you spy and you run around and you go places and you look at maps and you do all these things. In the spirit, the treasure is found when you can totally surrender. Well, let's continue in that vein.
Did you say not to literalize it or to not to spiritualize it?
What? I said you couldn't spiritualize it.
Okay. So we literalize it?
No, you don't do either one. You just sort of, it just becomes a kind of a, rather than a belief system, it becomes a hope system. You know, I hope it was right that I have this great treasure from my 64th great uncle or something. But I can't believe on it until I've experienced it. You understand? Because then, up until that point, I still have to believe on or trust in the treasures that I am familiar with.
The treasure.
And those treasures, fundamentally, the treasures that I've experienced, for all of us, are fundamentally names. Now that's, you know, I told you last night, some of you last night, that only when this treasure house, this bank, this words are the currency, the money of your mental bank, and they have to be emptied. You have to see the vanity of them before you can be approached. I mean, if somebody with a dying child approaches you, your first impulse isn't to pray for them. Your first impulse is to name a hospital or name a doctor or to do anything other, because those are your treasures. Those are the names. That's what's in this bank. Well, this bank, by the act of surrender, is declared bankrupt. And you cannot use bankrupt assets any longer. Okay. Verse 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins now be girded about, and your lights burning. And you yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord when he will return from the wedding. When he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Now, again, this is the wedding supper. This is the marriage feast. He's going to come and knock. Okay? You got it? Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. And the reason they're watching is because they have no other treasures. Yeah. They have nothing left in the bank. They've surrendered. This thing is declared bankrupt by law. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he'd have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Okay, now you got that in your mind about when the and you yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that he may cometh and knocketh, that they may open unto him immediately. Okay, now go to Revelation 3. Now, in all evangelical, I can say that if I wanted to, evangelical Christian circles, this is used as an evangelical scripture. Revelation 3:20. Well, I'll go up verse 18. We'll skip the bad part. You've already been through the bad part. Now comes the good part. I constantly to buy of me, or the word buy, is that we can't use that one anymore. Secure. Obtain. I constantly buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. The gold tried in the fire is in opposition to the riches that you've trusted in. Okay. And white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. The white raiment is the fact that now you've judged with righteous judgment. Now your only response to any situation is it's finished. I've lost. To say it's finished can't communicate to this vessel, to this hunk of protoplasm, unless it's personalized.
You're finished.
But even it, you can't be just you're finished. It has to be that you have lost. That communicates. Yeah. Any attempt for you to continue is dumber than the Grenadians, those few Grenadians that were hiding out somewhere. No, it's dumb. It's even worse. There's a 93-year-old private Japanese soldier that is still in Guam, and there's 200,000 Americans on Guam, and the only thing he has is a knife, and he's still fighting. And he thinks he's valiant. Okay. I constantly to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment. The white raiment, you've got to see this. The only time you'll understand the white raiment, and that's, remember, the white raiment is the wall or the protection of the tabernacle. It's the garment of the tabernacle. I constantly buy of me gold, tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Okay, that the shame of your nakedness is flesh.
Yeah.
You know, but flesh, i.e. leper, in the context of leprosy. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Now, that's a whole other world, but we'll get into that. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Well, you know about that. Some of you know a whole lot more about that than others. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You don't repent. You don't tell somebody you repent. You repent. You don't try to get someone else to agree with you that you've repented. You've turned. You've said, I am through. I have lost. I mean, you got to know what this will do to your brain cells. I mean, this will so screw up your brain cells, your brain won't know where it's coming or going. Now, years later, Christ is talking in Luke 12 at the third year. Now, for us, it's at least four times that long. Now, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, finally, supping with him is possible. Because in this culture, you didn't eat with someone unless he was your friend. And he couldn't be your friend unless he knew everything, and you knew everything that he knew. What?
And you knew that he knew.
Yeah.
What's the door here? What's the symbolic door? Is it the tabernacle?
The door is the tabernacle. You remember the mystery about in the John 10 where it talks about you can go in and out and in and out? Well, now you don't, there isn't, I mean, it's like the universe turned in on itself, in that no matter which way you go, sometimes he's knocking and you're going in, sometimes he's out there, and you can't be anywhere else but in the tabernacle. You understand?
Like a Mobius strip or something.
Yeah, exactly. It turns in on itself. That's why we always have been resident in the New Jerusalem. We didn't know it. Because we couldn't hear his knock. We were too busy hearing our own voices. You can only hear his knock. He doesn't beat on the door. He knocks very quietly. You can only hear his knock when there's silence in your temple. You understand? Now, the only place God sups with is at the brazen altar.
Yeah.
That's the table of the Lord. Now, and you see, God does this stupid trick. He sends some idiot like me down to test you so that you can't get by with saying we have fellowship until you're eating with him. You can't get by with saying you have fellowship with God if you haven't yet had fellowship with me. But you see, don't you see how long, this is a long, Christ spent 3 years, night and day. He was the best preacher, teacher that is possible. You know, we spent 12 years to get to this point. Now we can enter in the door. Or he in, you know, again, it doesn't make any difference. Now there's nowhere we can go that isn't the tabernacle, that isn't the New Jerusalem. And just as Solomon hallowed, by the law, the only place the sacrifices could be offered was on the brazen altar. That was the table. What did Solomon do? Solomon hallowed all of the temple court and made all of the temple court be the brazen altar. Well, that's what we do by declaration. Now we say wherever your foot is standing before the Lord, standing with the Lord at the brazen altar. Now you can possess your possession. You can inherit your inheritance. But you can only get this point when you can be giggly about losing. But when you can surrender in joy. You got a little picture?
It sure sounds like what a rod does.
What?
That sounds like what a rod does.
Yeah. Now, go to John 15. See, there's a whole area, a whole world of stuff now that's available to us. Am I communicating?
Yeah.
What?
You've probably been waiting years to share some of this stuff.
Uh-huh. Is this a catered thing?
Let's have a glass of wine or something.
Okay, now he's just gone through the idea of abiding in John. And the reason you can abide is because you have seen that you are the branch and he is the vine, or whatever it says. I am the true vine and my Father's husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. Now you are clean to the word I have spoken. Abide in me, I in you. Branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No man can, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Now, again, as we studied last night, that isn't a declaration of without him you can do no good stuff. It's the final declaration that has been true since the foundation of the world. You have never done anything that wasn't him. Because now there's separation is impossible. Because you have surrendered, rather than, I mean, you've been a branch that has been running around and it's growing Concord grapes and you're trying to grow white grapes. Or you're trying, worse yet, no. You're a Concord grapevine and you're trying to grow bananas. Now you've surrendered to that which was always eternally true. You've never been anything but a branch in the vine from before the foundation of the world. But you had to try everything else before you could know this. You've had to go through all of the metaphors, all of the parables, all of the analogies, all of the patterns, all of the schematics, all of the suffering to get to the point where you could say, Father, I surrender. I mean, Christians say that all day. They have no idea what they're talking about because they're still trying to grow peaches on the grapevine. or whatever else. Worse, they're trying to grow Cadillacs, or they're trying to grow
condos,
or they're trying to grow, they're trying to grow what they think they want in their mind based on their own Molech experience. This is all it is, on the vine. So it takes years and years and years and years and years to have, because you got to try everything else. Okay, now I see I can't do anything but be a vine that grows whatever the branch says it's. I mean, a branch that grows whatever the vine says it's to be. That's what surrender is. Now in the process of surrender, you just rest. I mean, every time you tried to grow a Cadillac, you got pruned. Every time you tried to grow something that met your image of Molech, you got pruned. But some of you are little short stubs, but it doesn't matter. The more the pruning, the greater the crop. The harder the winter, the greater the wine. The better the wine. Got it? Surrender. Why am I doing this? I was going to talk about this Sunday. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. If you continue trying to grow a Cadillac on your grape branch, God's going to get pissed off. And men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, how come? Now you've surrendered. Now you're in that will of what? The reason that's true is because of what comes up. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now that sounds conditional. All it means is that you hear under every arena. There's no place that you are where you can't hear that he is. There's no place that you can be, no condition the world, the devil, or the flesh can put you in where you forget that you are a branch of a Concord grape. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and your joy might be full. Giggly. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's no big deal once you know you're a branch. It's not any heroic deed, it's just the act of a branch being a branch. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Again, that's not what we hear. We hear, oh shit, I'm again. In the context of the vine and the branch, to do what's commanded just means if you relax. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you my friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. Now whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Now we've been through all kinds of shit. But now, now we can enter in and suck with him. Why? Well, in the natural, in the only sensory perception we have of it, it's because we can stand at the door in a state of joy. We can be in a state of joy because we know we've surrendered. Yeah. Now, we can study the burnt offerings. Anybody understand?
That last one about loving one another, that's just the automatic end of the whole thing.
I mean, it can't. No man ever yet hated his own flesh. No branch ever yet hated its own bark. Again, it's back to the one covenant. Man, you know, the two shall be one flesh. That's the covenant. Now that's why, now, whatsoever you ask shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. Does it make sense now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a question. I started reading that last part from John. I don't know. You got in mind, so I'm wondering about it. I started thinking about grapes. Well, a grape by itself just left alone. I mean, it falls, you know, falls even to a clean place, it would just rot, right? It doesn't ferment.
Yeah.
Does it ferment?
Well, that's what rotting is.
That's what rotting is. That's what death is.
It's rotting without making wine.
Death is, all that death is the grape dying alone or fermenting alone.
Yeah. Wine only happens when there's a whole bunch of them that are doing the same thing on.
One grape,
even a big grape, wouldn't make wine.
Moby grape.
It wouldn't make wine.
No,
one big grape.
Moby grape. And another cliche has been invented.
That's not a good question.
You might want to take this pen away from Larry. It's really good.
It has a little dinosaur that goes back and forth.
Moby grape.
It has a grape back in the 60s.
He thought we'd invented a new cliche.
Oh my God.
I thought it was like a flavor of Kool-Aid or something.
Yeah.
Very
nice.
You have that there.
Oh my God.
You understand? I mean, that's all that death is. That's all getting old is.
This is scripture about God folding up everything. And I said, lift your skin and the wrinkle. God's folding it up. Even your own body tells you. Your body folding up. Wrinkling the layers.
Isn't that literalizing the parable?
Not his body. Wrinkles.
Wrinkles.
Oh, yeah.
Stripe deep.
Definitely. It means something.
Take it, big guy.